Welcome to the Shitposter.club Anime Review Podcast. I am Dad, your host. With me is Cool Boy Mew.
Hey.
Full Metal declined to show up because he thinks Attack on Titan is so damn boring that he couldn't have anything interesting to say about it.
Bro, the last episode was practically an hour and a half of nonstop action.
Yeah, but it's possible to get bored by action. There's so much crazy shit flying around on screen, you just lose track of it and lose interest. I can see where he's coming from.
But anyways, Mitch and SPC really wanted me to play Sonic Superstars, so I did. I bought the Wii version, the Switch version.
Okay, we can talk about that too.
Yeah, I can talk about it right now if you wish.
Okay, yeah, we can do Vidya first and then Attack on Titan spoilers after a certain point.
Yeah, Attack on Titan spoilers will be at the end, of course. I mean, obviously.
All right, tell us about this Sonic game.
All right, so first, it's actually kind of good. It's good for us, which is kind of a miracle. Sega has been doing this kind of weird shit lately, where they actually starting to release good Sonic game. Crazy, I know. There was Sonic Frontier recently, which I didn't play, but people seem to be pretty positive about it, so maybe I should play it after all. But yeah, Sega has had a slew of not so great Sonic game ever since, like, Sonic Heroes. The quality has just been kind of going down, and it just haven't really been going up since. There was Sonic Mania, but I mean, that was literally made by some fans.
Yeah, and that was 6 years ago.
So yeah, so now we have Sonic Superstars. It's actually a 2D game made. Well, I mean, 2D game. It's in 3D, so 2.5D, as people say usually. But yeah, this one's a bit impressive because the 2D Sonic section and recent Sonic games, because ever since Generation, you have like new Sonic for 3D and you have like classic Sonic for 2D. And the classic Sonic stages were terrible. The physics is completely all fucked up. The level design really fucking sucked, and it was terrible to play. So now maybe they're separating them, and they're just focusing on 3D and focusing on 2D. And this is a good thing, because this time, the physics are actually fucking good. The physics are good. You know, I remember when Sonic 4 came out, and people told me to never play the shit. I got Sonic 4 Part 2 gifted on Steam at some point. I was told that it was good, but it was just okay. I felt like I was just going through the motions.
The only Sonic games I've played in the past 20 years have been Mania and Generations. All the others I just heard were so shitty, I didn't even bother.
God, bro. Play Sonic Adventure 2. Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2 are golden.
That's more than 20 years old, man.
But anyways, so yeah, this is actually good. It's a kind of a classic Sonic games. You got your zone, and you got your emeralds. You need to get it's like Sonic 3. You have to find them scattered within the zones, and this time you get some sort of a 3D 3D space minigame where Sonic automatically targets some ball or whatever, and then he just swings, and you have to try to catch the emerald in the 3D space. It's actually kind of fun. Also, if you get 50 rings, At every goalpost, you can play a minigame. This time, it's not Blue Sphere as in, like in Mania. It's actually the Sonic 1 bonus games. You know, like the 3D maze. No, not the 3D maze, but the maze that keeps rotating, right?
Yeah, and the Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah, this time's... not in Sonic and Knuckles. I mean in Sonic 1.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, but that basically, you get some sort of coins by beating these mazes. You have three mazes by bonus stage, and you can get a fourth medal, they call them, if you get 100 rings while playing them. Actually, they're really, really, really fun. Like, I actually love just stopping constantly the stage just to do these because they're actually really fun. But otherwise, so how do I even explain Sonic? It's a good Sonic game. Maybe I wouldn't say it's as good as Mania, but there's a bunch of really good ideas. The zones are actually pretty good. And I have not really that... I don't have anything that negative to say about it. It's just plain good. Oh, also, every emerald you get gives you a power, which is really great. So you can play as Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Amy this time. Amy can do a double jump. And she has an armor attack, so she can probably hit some enemies that are protected, like by electricity or something.
Yeah. So it sounds like all they had to do was go back to basics and make another 2D Sonic game. That's all people wanted.
Yeah, crazy, right? But so yeah, each emerald gives you some power, and a bunch of these powers are actually pretty good. You get one that for a short amount of time, you can do fire dashes in the air in any direction you want. And there's another one that I really liked, which grew a vine from the ground. So, and these powers get restored every goalpost. And that also means that you can use every power. It's not like a shared pool. You can use every power once that you have. And they all get regenerated at the goalpost. So what's great about the two that I picked up is that you can actually get into areas that normally only Tails will go to. So that means that you can find more rings for emeralds, you can find more medals and etc. The stages are actually fucking huge. I'm pretty impressed by how big they are. And in the end, it's a classic Sonic game. So if you just want more classic Sonic game, this is it. They actually kind of did it. On Switch, it kind of looks good, but it looks like it needs anti-aliasing. So it's as if they turn it off or something. However, it looks good enough, and it runs pretty well, so whatever. However, I've been arguing online for like a few months that, you know, the Switch needs... Nintendo needs to release the Switch, too. Exactly because of problems like this. Why the fuck is this game that doesn't really look like it... It needs like to have its graphic decrease for the Switch? Why the fuck does it has the graphic decrease for the Switch? Is it maybe an engine thing? I don't fucking know. But if the Switch 2 was out now, this wouldn't be a problem probably. But anyways, now for the negative. It's a 2D Sonic, and I think it was Izuka who said something along the line that there's like no future for like pixel graphics or something. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? this game did not need to be 3D. Like, you look at it, and I just feel like it will have been just playing better as a 2D pixel game. So that's a bit frustrating. There's also the fact that I don't know. Sonic is stuck between this kind of really weird shit where it's... How to explain it? Mario actually went through the same thing. So you had the new Super Mario Bros. Series, and it's like, is it trying to be retro? Is it trying to be new? There's like a level select, but like you're kind of limited. What the fuck are you trying to do? Which Nintendo has entirely solved with Mario Wonder. Because you have a level select that's more like 3D World, where you mostly select whatever stage the fuck you want. You get the seeds, and then you get a number amount of seed, and then you unlock level. It feels modern, even if it's like the good old Mario gameplay. However, for Sonic Superstars, it does like the Sonic Mania thing. It does not the Sonic Mania thing, the Sonic Generation thing. Also the...
Where it switches back and forth between the two art styles?
No, not two art style. It just that it doesn't... Like, it plays like the old arcade game throughout. Like the old arcade style of Genesis, where you just kind of reset the game and you have to just... restart at the beginning, you know what I mean? But then it also has a modern level select, and there's no lives anymore, and you know, it's kind of stuck between the middle of it. Tries to be retro, but it's not actually sticking to it. But there's nothing like I feel like Sonic has not actually broke through the modern barrier. Why the fuck is there not like multiple stages like Mario was or something? Sega still haven't fucking figured out how to actually modernize the formula a little bit.
Some of the reviews I've been seeing say the boss fights take way too long. Is that accurate?
It depends on the boss. The bosses were kind of fine. I don't have much complaints about it, especially since the bosses are kind of much better than the bosses in Super Mario Wonders, which were almost inexistent. The baby Bowser fights were fucking terrible, so that's something that I'm going to give Sonic Superstar a point on. The bosses were fine. I hated the last boss, but it's the last boss, so that's normal.
All right, you're definitely selling me on this. I enjoyed the old 2D Sonics from the 90s, and I was disappointed when the series turned 3D, and each new sequel got worse and worse.
Yeah, I think you're gonna like this one, but at the same time, I mean, it's released at the same time as Mario Wonder. So I have to compare the two, especially, you know, because it's Mario, Sonic, and they're both like a 2D style game. Obviously, Super Mario Wonder completely fucking mugged this. Let's not lie. Super Mario Wonder is definitively the superior game, but Sonic is not that bad. It's just that as a $79 release, yes, Canadian, so it's for... It's fully priced. It's fully priced, and this does not feel really like a fully priced release.
Yeah, that's a bit steep. Do you know how many zones there are?
9, 10, something like that. There's also bonus. Every zone has bonus stages if you find the secret crystal pair. Don't ask. Crystal pair. I don't know. I don't know why, but there's bonus zones.
Yeah. Wikipedia says there's 12 zones with 26 levels total.
Yeah, it's actually kind of pretty long. The stages are really fucking long. Basically, I was always reaching around 10 minutes per zone, which really helped since I had, the fire and the vine thing. So I did a bit of exploring, and I didn't feel bored. Like the stages were super long for me, and I was not bored at all.
Yeah, I thought the exploration parts were the worst part of Sonic Adventure, because I like the levels themselves in that game, but
I like the exploring actually.
it can be done well, but I thought it was just a pointless waste of time in that particular game, but that's more than 2 decades ago.
But yeah, it's a pretty good game, and the medals that you get, it's so that you can customize your robot that you then can use in some sort of party mini game battle mode that is
Yeah.
actually playable online. It's not much, but it's basically a party mode. You get a bunch of stages, collect more stars than others, survive the longest, and then there's a race to the finish, and you're given points depending on your ranking in each stages, and at the end the points racks up and you win or you lose. That's what you use the medals on. So it's not much, but I think it's a bit tackled on because they needed to actually give the medals a meaning.
Yeah, and
And
people expect mini games in Sonic games.
yeah, it's fine enough. It's fine enough for what it is. Personally, I just liked going to collect medals, but they actually put something for it, so that's fine. There's also a fifth character that you unlock later,
Yeah.
and she apparently has her own, not apparently, I've seen it unlocked. She has her own campaign. I have not played it, but apparently it's terrible, so I don't know.
I know some people obsess over Sonic lore and the interactions between characters. I never cared about that shit. Just give me a decent platformer.
For that is decent. It's just that I recommend Mario Wonder over it. But if you really like Sonic, if you really like 2D Sonic, then th this is actually pretty decent. Bronze.
All right. Yeah, strong recommend from you here. I need to check this out, but I still haven't played Mario Wonder either.
Yeah, you need to play that first, I think.
All right. Not enough time in the world.
Super Mario RPG, and about a week and a half. So I'll be talking about that perhaps on the podcast of the 27th, if we have one.
All right. Yeah, we'll make time for it. Because I really like the original Mario RPG, so
Bro,
I'm down to play as the remake.
I finished that game more than 30 times.
Shit.
I've had it since I was like 4 years old.
When did it come out? 95?
I don't know when I got it. I just went to the store at some point. My parents allowed me to get a video game. I saw fucking
Okay, it
Mario
was
RPG.
96.
It's a Mario RPG, and then I was like, man, I need to get this. If it's 96, then it probably was just about new when I got it.
Yeah, I remember renting this and getting pretty far, but and only later on actually beating it. It's
It
everything about it is so well crafted and highly polished. It's just a fantastic game.
Yeah, and I've heard some amazing thing. Apparently, it's one. I've heard people say that it's one of the most faithful remake ever made, which just makes me giddy hearing that.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll introduce more optional super bosses.
There is. It's already confirmed.
All
There,
right.
there's. You can you can refight all the game bosses in super form.
That's exactly what I wanted. I need to play this. Yeah, if I
All
have any
right.
complaint about Super Mario RPG, it's that it's a bit too easy.
Yeah.
But that just means there's no grinding required. You can just speed through the game if you like.
And unfortunately, there's no hard mode announced. So that's a bit frustrating. I wanted a hard mode because look, I played that game so much that I can play the first Armor Bros boss with zero damage.
Yeah, it's cool to hear there's more optional super bosses like Kulex in the original.
N not optional super bosses, but the super but all the bosses in the game are supposedly coming back but stronger.
Oh, no, maybe like the Punch Out on the Wii.
I actually didn't play that.
Oh, that's easily the best game in that series. That's one of my all-time favorite games. If that ever gets ported to the Switch or anything else, that's a mandatory play.
I should just get the Wii version eventually. I hope it's not expensive. I can probably ju just my Wii is hacked,
It
so whatever.
requires you to use the Wii's waggle controls to navigate the menus, which is annoying. But once you get into the fights themselves, it's an incredible experience. I freaking love Punch Out on the Wii.
Let me get price charting. So we. For about $3 US, it's not too
Yeah,
bad.
worth it.
It's not too bad for the price, I think. Especially for a Nintendo game, that's kind of decent. But anyways.
But anyway, I've been playing some games too.
Sure.
This is pure coincidence, but I've been playing three different Touhou fan games.
Jesus.
I'm not a Touhou fanatic. I don't have Reimu painted on my walls like a shrine for me to worship or anything. I don't even particularly like the original shoot 'em up games, but these Touhou fans are so obsessed with it. They'll insert these characters into any kind of genre, and sometimes the results are really fascinating.
Well, it helps that you can just use them for free as long as it's for like fan games, and it's even allowed if it's a paid fan game as long as it's not a big corporation. I think the big corps might have to pay a license fee, but I don't know.
Okay, so the first one was I promised Jones I would play this. It's a Castlevania-like with Touhou characters. It's Komajo Densetsu 2, Stranger's Requiem. So it plays a lot like Rondo of Blood. It's straightforward with occasional branching paths, and it has a life system, but yeah, it's more similar to the old classic Vanias.
Rondo of Blood, you really got my interest there because that game's amazing.
Yes. So this game's from 2010. I had trouble getting it to run on my computer because Japan never optimizes anything on PC. But the game itself is pretty fun. I can recommend this for anyone who enjoys classic Vanias.
Nice.
Another one was a couple weeks ago, a Shin Megami Tensei clone starring Touhou characters came out. It's called Touhou Artificial Dream in Arcadia.
Yeah, I've seen it on Steam.
So this one's hard, but it's fair. It's a tough dungeon crawler. You will get wiped out pretty frequently, but there's a mini map, and it warns you when you're approaching a boss, which is more than most old dungeon crawlers would do. But still, it expects you to remember the game's mechanics, every enemy's elemental weakness, and when you summon various fairies into your party, you have the one human character who is dreaming of the Touhou world, and she can summon various other fairies into her party, but you're on a time limit. Like each step you take in the dungeon lowers a timer, and once it runs out, your summoned fairies disappear. So you have just your human character, and you have to quickly run back to a save point without getting killed.
So you summon fairies. Can you summon Cerno?
Probably. I think she's late in the game.
I see.
The more famous characters are probably late game summons. Just like in Shin Megami Tensei, you start with crappy little goblins and shit, and eventually you start putting famous real-life gods from legends into your party. But another interesting thing about it is it has a recruiting system, just like many SMT games. But in this one, every time you attempt to bring an enemy into your party, it switches to a shoot-'em-up minigame. And you have to defeat your opponent in that. And depending on how much health they have left is how many hits they can take in the shoot-'em-up minigame.
Oh.
So I can recommend this one, too. It's a pretty tough dungeon crawler. It will kick your ass, but it's not completely unfair. There's no instant death traps or anything.
Interesting. So what's next?
The third one is Touhou, Lost Branch of Legend. Now, this is a pretty blatant ripoff of a card-building game called Slay the Spire. That's an American game, but it's so popular it's been translated into many languages, so I can understand Asians getting obsessed with it.
Yeah, and this is probably the game that I have to blame for all these fucking card games.
Yes, I happen to like Slay the Spire quite a bit, so something that imitates it, you've already piqued my interest. So this one, it's plays similarly. You pick a character, and there's different types of decks and relics you can acquire, and during gameplay, you draw cards from your deck, and as you progress through the levels, you add or remove cards from your deck to create something that's exactly the way you like it. But except this has full of Touhou characters, of course. There's also several references to Magic the Gathering, including cards that act like planeswalkers. And there's an item called Black Lotus that gives you mana, so a definite magic reference. So, and of course, the art is better than anything Zune has ever drawn, but that's really beside the point. So, I'm enjoying this, but it's still in early access. There's only a couple of playable characters, but I'm going to keep my eye on this. It has the potential to be very good.
All right.
Aside from that, I've also been playing Nioh. You
know, more.
Nioh, the Dark Souls-like game. Yeah, I know it came out 6 years ago, but I just got into it recently, and it feels like they expanded that PS1 game Bushido Blade into an action RPG.
Link me. I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, Nioh. Yeah, all right. Yeah. I've not played it, by the way.
You haven't played any Dark Souls clones, have you?
Nope. I still haven't played any of these.
Once you break your Dark Souls virginity, you'll probably get obsessed with them, like Jones.
I don't know. I feel like these are games that I might like, but I have to start them under the right mindset and under the right mood. If I don't do this, it's going to piss me off quickly. If I do it correctly, I'm going to love them. So I just need to be like under the perfect mood.
In the mood to throw yourself against a difficult challenge again and again until you can finally overcome it.
Yes, yeah, sometimes I just feel like this. Sometimes I don't. So.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, these games are not for everybody. If someone tells me they hate them, I understand completely. But they can also be quite addictive. So this one, I need to keep playing until completion. It has a cool system where each type of weapon you get has several different stances you can hold, like high, medium, and low. So for different sizes of swords, spears, axes, what's that? Chain and sickle thing they had in medieval Japan, Kusarigama. So it has tons of weapon choices. Each one has three different sets of moves, one for each stance, and skill trees where you can unlock even more moves. So you can find whatever weapon suits your playstyle perfectly. It's really freaking cool. I'm surprised I never got into it before, but I will play this some more. Alright, shall we talk about Attack on Titan?
No, first I wanted to talk about some anime. I think I forgot an anime during the season.
Yeah?
Yeah, Kami Erabi God.app. So I'll just read the synopsis. The ultimate battle royale for Divinity has begun. High schoolers must use their unique powers to compete against each other for the coveted title God. But as the brawl becomes more vicious than the last, alliances are formed and betrayal take place. Who will emerge victorious and claim their godly throne? So the plot is a lot like that one manga anime from the Death Note dude, Platinum Hand. So
yeah. Says original plan by Yoko Taro.
Yeah, that's why I picked it up.
So there's going to be a bunch of weird philosophical references and sexualized shit.
Probably. I've yet to see some of it, but we'll see. I don't think you like this because it's very 3D, but I kind of don't hate how it looks.
Yeah, 3D animation is getting better all the time. Just some of them I don't like. Such as?
Kengan Ashura, which we got season 2. Yes, this is season 2 because this was part 1 and part 2 previously. And from the last episode's preview, it looks like we're going to get a part 2. I don't know.
Yeah, where did this story end off? If you can say without spoilers.
I cannot say without spoilers, but the main character basically just woke up.
Okay, I know what you mean.
And we got like more of his backstory about like him training and etc.
Yeah, growing up in a dangerous shithole city.
Being
taught martial arts by a homeless guy who happens to be an amazing super assassin.
So yeah, it was amazing as usual. Crazy battles, and my favorite battle is probably the wrestler guy. Sekibayashi, something like that?
Yeah, Sekibayashi Jun.
Yeah.
He's great.
His second battle is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I love that pro wrestling in this world is 100% real, and people often get killed in the ring.
Yeah, it's fucking brutal.
I really like the story of Kengan Ashura. When I read the manga, it instantly became one of my favorite action series, but I just cannot get past the visuals of the animated version.
I don't know why you hate them so much. They look very 3D. They don't try to hide it, but I think it looks great. It looks great despite of that, so I don't know.
I can recommend the manga more. It has a good way of drawing action. You can feel the impact of every blow. It feels violent.
Yeah, but talking about the impact of every blow, the anime has actually amazing sound design.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the sound design is fucking amazing. Exactly, you feel the impact. And I don't remember what was the part exactly, but there was a part like involving heartbeat. And it was, and the fucking music, it was fucking great. Like the sound design of the anime is fucking fantastic.
Oh, man. I should just buckle down and watch this.
Yes, you should.
Because I love the source material, and it could benefit from being animated. Most action series could.
Yeah, but like, I don't blame them for doing 3D, because it's literally like, well, fucking zone of non-stop battles, non-stop fucking action. It's crazy.
The entire manga is a big-ass tournament with 32 combatants.
I mean, right now Jujutsu Kaisen is kind of doing it. However, the non-major villain, usually like the small time curses are usually kind of drawn and dislike all animated style, which actually kind of looks nice for what they're going for. But I mean, this is clearly a cost cutting measure at the same time. So yeah. And still, again, Jujutsu Kaisen is still not stopping with its peak battle shonen right now. It's fucking not. It is not fucking stopping.
So the writer from Kengan Ashura,
mm-hmm.
earlier this year, he started a spin-off manga, which is all about the female fighters of that universe.
Oh?
Yeah, it's called Star Strike It Rich. It's more of the same, but I'm happy with that. It's high quality stuff.
Very nice. So the character looks cute, and it's in the same universe.
Yeah, yeah. Occasionally, you'll see Kengan Ashura male characters in the background.
Very nice.
Same universe as Kengan, and how heavy are the dumbbells you lift?
So how are the waifus in this?
You know, they're not. The main character is this cute, innocent-looking schoolgirl who happens to be amazingly talented at hurting people. But most of the other female fighters look the way you expect. These beefy, roided-up dykes.
I see. I see. It's Kengan Ashura, after all.
Yeah, most of the female characters are not attractive.
So I'm looking forward for the animated adaptation of that eventually.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, I'm still watching stuff from this season.
Anything to say in particular?
Yeah, you told me to keep watching Shy because something cool happens in the fourth episode.
Yes.
I was not expecting to see a grown man beat the living shit out of a 14-year-old girl. It was stomping on her face and shit. It was gruesome.
Yeah. What happens is another cliche, but it's another cliche that was actually executed flawlessly. So I don't know.
Yeah, the cliche of I will beat you up until you become tougher.
Yeah.
And Frieren is good as always.
Yeah, Frieren, I think, is... I said that it was going to be an anime of the season, but not anymore, because it just been announced that it's 28... been announced. I think I just forgot the last episode, but it's 28 episodes, so it will count for next season.
Yeah, plus it got totally upstaged by Kingdom of Ruin.
Hmm?
Kingdom of Ruin is that bullshit, try-hard Edgemaster one about the witches being genocided by a high-tech empire, and our protagonist is a survivor of the massacre who returns and just starts murdering civilians and shit.
No, I just don't understand why you're bringing this up.
I was joking.
Okay, see.
It's not actually very good.
I see.
But I'm watching it just to get laughs out of the edgy bullshit that happens.
So
there's a lot more slaughter.
So now the question is, what will become anime of the season? I'd say that Undead Unlock might have a chance, but we don't know how many episodes it's going to be so far. So we don't know. But Undead Unlock, we're 5 episodes in so far, and it haven't fucking stopped. It is cool as shit.
Yeah, I told you niggas, it was a really good manga.
Yeah.
I still read it every week.
I've seen someone say this, I believe it was on A, or it was the usual forum I go to, but it's like people will have not believed that a Chainsaw Man will have gotten a meh to okay adaptation, and the one manga who have gotten an amazing adaptation will be actually Undead Unlock by David fucking Production. That is fucking nuts.
Yeah, well, I really like both of those manga, but yes, this is the better anime for sure.
Yeah, it's fucking not so far. And
100 Girlfriends is still excellent as always. I love this shit.
I haven't seen the last episode yet, but I've seen a screenshot. It makes the girl looks a lot like Kamisan.
Yeah, except for her hair color.
Yeah, you know, she looks exactly like Kami-san, except with another hair color.
Yeah, her personality's different, though. Just watch it, and you'll find out.
Sure. I also wanted to talk about Ikikomari Kyuketsuki no Monmon. It looked like a zany comedy at first, but then like episode 3 and episode 4 got kind of got it immediately went into a serious arc. And just, I wanted to say that episode 4 in particular had some fantastic voice work by the seiyuu.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, this was actually pretty good.
That the one that turns into raging lesbian shit a few episodes in?
Somewhat. I mean, this one. Let me link it. Did you even see it?
I have not seen this.
All right.
Looks pretty gay.
Otherwise, because of this fucking Ken Ganashura stuff and this and freaking Pluto that we're watching for the next episode, I am late on so many things. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah. And the absolute finale of Attack on Titan finally came
Oh,
out.
yeah.
It's actually the end for real this time.
Yeah, for real this time. People were like, oh no, is this. Are we gonna get like another part? But no, it's actually in the end. And also, spoiler warning right now because we're gonna be talking about the end.
Yep. Attack on Titan, spoilers.
So if you haven't seen it yet, this is where you stop. All right, you've been warned enough, I think.
Yeah.
So all right, let's talk directly about the ending. So p everyone say that it sucks, and I don't get it.
A lot of people complain about the ending, but yeah, there are some irritating things. I think the series became too convoluted towards the end.
Oh yeah, there's this time traveling thing and the future and the past.
Yeah, where
It was. It was. It
Eren is
wasn't.
sending messages to his younger self, but he.
And to his friends too, that he's erasing right after. So.
Yeah, I think it's r ridiculous that we're supposed to believe that from the very first episode, Eren was receiving instructions from his future self, but he still chose to act like a stupid child.
I don't know. I don't know about that. This is where the discussion gets really fucky because it seems that people cannot wrap their head around like a time travel
I
and
understand the
how.
time travel. I just think it was poorly implemented.
He actually ex kind of explain all of this is that. Everything was already in motion, so we couldn't like change anything. He just had to make it happen.
You
Which is
know
the
I'm a Berserk
explanation.
fan. Fuck fate. I will cut fate in half with my big ass sword.
But anyways, so the ending, what I liked about it is that at some point at the forum I went on, for like the last part where Eren started like his massive genocide,
Yeah, the rumbling.
there was two camps. He was right and he was wrong. And then we got the ending, which got its cake and needed to, and he actually kind of made it work, I think.
You mean
He was both right and wrong at the same time.
because he started committing the genocide through the rumbling, through summoning these giant titans to smash most of the world. But deep down, he thought himself to be wrong and he wanted to be defeated by his former friends.
Yeah, he wanted this to have his friends ultimately be the heroes and just stop the fucking, the fucking war on Paradis. Because, every nation on the planet was just about to annihilate them in a few months. So that's what caused Eren to do this.
Yeah, you could say humans are the real monsters.
I mean, well, that's the thing about the ending. I mean, The work is coming from a Japanese man, which is not surprising at all. It's war bad, and the cycle of humanity, which it's always going to be war.
Yeah, even after the Titans finally disappear at the very end, there's still going to be war in the future.
So, talking about that very end, I have seen the difference between the manga, and this is what the boys on the post were mostly pissed about. Because in the manga, you see Paradis just modernizing and getting building and everything. So in the manga, it looks like barely like, let's just say, the 50s or something. So maybe 100 years more tops. And war is already waging on and Paradis get destroyed. This is what got some people pissed off, because it seems like everything they did was pointless. However, it seems that it was fixed in the anime, because when Paradis get destroyed, you don't just see modern building. You see what seems to be a vaguely futuristic landscape, even, which will solve a lot of the problem people had with it. Because it gets destroyed eventually, but it's not like just in 100 years or so. It's somewhere in an unknown future. So I wonder, is it actually the mangaka walking back? Or is that actually a mistake of his and people took it the wrong way?
It's hard to say. Like, some people accuse him of making stuff up as he goes along. But I've also seen some real foreshadowing, even in the manga. Like, remember...
Not just in the manga. The apparently, the first ending of the anime foreshadows the event, the end event, apparently.
Yeah, and it shows you some of the founding Titan and Ymir, the backstory stuff that's not really revealed until very late in the series. But some of the foreshadowing I remember seeing is, like, remember early on when the kids are training with their 3D movement gear, and they're also doing some wrestling, and Annie is teaching Aaron some hand-to-hand moves?
Yep.
While she's doing that, Annie's instinctively covering up the back of her neck.
Interesting.
Yeah. I noticed that on a reread once.
Yes, so there's something weird about, apparently, Eren might have, not just Eren, but some of them might have reincarnated into birds. And there's apparently something to support that in the manga. And I've been told that the first ending, I believe, ends with Mikasa looking at birds or something, and this is the foreshadowing.
Yeah, it kind of implies that maybe, possibly, Eren was reincarnated as a bird who takes away her scarf. But yes. It's ambiguous.
Yes, it's ambiguous.
The ending is freaking weird. I'll give it credit for that. People have been talking about it for the past 2 years, and... there's a lot going on, but I do think it has some problems.
I'm actually going to give Isayama the... you know the kind of weird thing that a lot of anime does? Let's just say Evangelion, where they're just like in a room. You don't know where it is. Some spirit room or whatever, and they just talk with each other.
Yeah, it's supposed to be telepathy or something.
Yeah, but when it happens in Attack on Titan, there's actually an explanation for this.
Yeah, it's one of the many new Titan powers that the author pulled out of his ass.
Yeah, but it actually explained in universe, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, the conversations in the center of the mind are pretty cool. Telepathy is a hell of a drug. But I noticed that even Armin was confused, like, during his final telepathic conversation with Eren. Like, even Armin admitted he doesn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the author thought he had to keep one-upping himself with bigger titans, more types of titans, and crazier plots, including time travel. I thought it was similar to Death Note in that it keeps adding supernatural shit with new rules, new characters, new political factions, and it expects you to remember all of that, even though the only thing that really matters is, will our protagonist die in the end? Spoilers, Eren dies at the end.
I think Attack on Titan actually managed to have a satisfying ending.
I just don't think the final story arc was as good as it was early on. Like, when it first starts, it's clearly a horror story.
Yeah, and then it gets, like, weird, a bit weirdly political with, like, the World War II stuff. But I didn't hate it.
The Titans are Jews!
I didn't hate it. I remember that the shit libs were kind of getting nervous because it's like what was it? How to explain it?
The author's not an American pussy who's been trained to feel guilt about World War II, so he can introduce concepts from it into his story without being a whiny little bitch.
Well, the shit libs were getting nervous because there's kind of like a reverse Holocaust thing going on, but then it shows that, you know, the people were in power are oppressed, and then that's the author what it was going with, you know, of course, the once again the cycle of war and etc., and kind of like this bullshit that goes on forever.
Yeah, I understand what he was getting across.
And I don't know. I feel like a lot of people didn't like the change, but I felt like it was fucking exciting. I remember, at least back then, I'm pretty sure that I was really into it.
Too much new bullshit to remember. But it was interesting seeing Reiner's character change. Because he was, as the armored titan, like, he was a gung-ho, ready to murder these people, but eventually he became to love them, and towards the end he turns against Eren. So it's something I wasn't expecting Reiner to do. It is amusing that the final boss looks like a giant turkey carcass with hundreds of rib bones sticking out.
Yeah, that was cool.
And it summons lots of regular-sized titans as mini-bosses for our heroes to fight. It's like a Mega Man game where you have to fight all the bosses in the boss rush before you get to Dr. Wily.
Yeah, it's called the Final Titan or something.
Yeah. So there are things I definitely like about Attack on Titan. I just don't think it's one of the all-time greatest stories, like some people say. It gets too convoluted at the end. I like it better in the early chapters, the early episodes, when it's just humans versus titans.
Yeah, I felt like it did change. I'm not sure if it's for the better, but I'd have to say that it was actually executed well, and I'd say it's actually a satisfying ending. The mangaka did it. How the fuck do you end this? Because endings are really fucking hard. And yeah, and I think
and
he did it.
Attack on Titan was, Attack on Titan was also so freaking huge that so many millions of people were paying attention to him that any way he ended it, people would have bitched about it. So I think it's a decent ending, but yeah, there's some annoying stuff.
I don't know. I liked it fine enough.
Also, the animated version, I think it references Schindler's List.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, if you're going with the World War II comparison, might as well go all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about the scene where the people are about to be shoved off the cliffside by the wall titans, and they're carrying a baby. But the whole scene's in monochrome, except for the baby, which is wearing red. which is very similar to a scene from Schindler's List. Oh. That whole movie's in black and white, except for one girl wearing a red coat. The red color is something that would not come up in the manga, so I wonder whose decision it was to do this for the anime. Just something I thought was neat.
So, anything else to say before we end this, maybe?
No, the idea of mental time travel, of having the memories of your ancestors dwelling inside your brain. I think the Dune novels by Frank Herbert did it better.
Mm.
There's several whole books about a character, well, several characters actually, who have all the memories of their ancestors inside their brain, and they use them to their own benefit. So read God Emperor of Dune. That's a fantastic novel. Also, what was with the ending song? Like, you've got this beautiful singing, and then suddenly this Rammstein sound-alike shows up. Gravelly-voiced dude growling in German.
I don't know. It's just one of, like, those ending thing where they need, like, multiple song. You know, like Hollywood movies? I don't know.
Yeah, but it switched to the Rammstein guy and then went back to the regular singing.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I can still recommend Attack on Titan, the series as a whole. There are a lot of good things about it, but I think it missed some potential. It should have stayed as a horror instead of becoming Meat Mecha and then becoming Attack on Juden.
I don't know. It's hard to say that he shouldn't have done this when my opinion is that he did it. So I can't agree with this, ultimately. If he did it, did it.
Yeah, he took some big risks. I'll give him credit for that. This is not a generic shonen ending where love triumphs over evil. There's a lot of complicated stuff. You have to think about it. But overall, yes, I can recommend Attack on Titan, the whole series.
And the anime is complete. I think the only problem is perhaps the last season done by MAPPA instead of... what was the other studio?
Oh, I can't remember.
Let me get... Wit Studio... the problem is
more like shit studio.
No, Wiz Studio was
they're actually better.
Yeah, they're actually better. When MAPPA took over, there was a lot of really terrible 3D CG, and
yeah, I remember in the first season, some episodes had incomplete visuals. Like, there's one scene where Eren in his Titan form is smashing against a wall, and it's supposed to scatter bricks everywhere.
That happens once in a while, but I'm talking about, like, when MAPPA took over in, like, season 4 or something.
Oh.
But, yeah, there's been some problem like this. I have no idea if they're solved in the Blu-rays, but it's... The anime is complete, and it's pretty good, so...
Yeah, the author, he created this big epic with this sprawling stories taking place over 2,000 years with so much shit going on. It is fascinating. Despite my complaints, I can still recommend it.
Yeah, me too.
One other small complaint about the series as a whole.
Yes, yes.
You know, the characters are using their 3D movement gear to zip around all over the place. They really should be wearing helmets.
Maybe. Maybe, but they wouldn't look as cool. I don't know.
I know, that's a stylistic choice. You need to see the characters' faces to understand their emotions.
I mean, the manga was already like hard to follow as it is, because I know that I'm not the only one who felt this way, because I've just read someone write exactly this like yesterday. It's one of those manga where you have a hard time... seeing like the characters apart.
Yeah, he has the same face problem, and sometimes the human characters are so, their faces are so distorted they look like titans themselves.
Yeah, I had a hard time to follow it because of that, so that's why I waited on the anime.
Yeah, I still think the characters should be wearing helmets, goggles, knees and elbow pads, maybe nut cups, you know, like skaters and skydivers do. It would have been a nice touch, but that would mean obscuring characters' faces and more bullshit to animate. So I can understand why they didn't do it.
Man, I'm checking back on the Hany list, and the final season was 4 separate parts. What a fucking shit. The final season appeared and it first appeared on December 7, 2020. It ended on March 29, 2021. And then part two was in January 10, 2022. And then after that, we got like the third part and like March 4, 2023. And then we had to wait until fucking November for the final part. What a fucking shit show. 3 years of final season. 3 fucking years. But anyways.
Yep, I think we're done here.
So next week, Pluto.
Yes, we'll have special guest Weeble to discuss Pluto, which I'm really enjoying.
It's pretty good. I've watched 4 episodes so far, so I should be good to finish it this week.
Yep, it'll be good. All right, good night.
Later.
In 2000 oder 20.000 Jahren.
Tomurai no hana no namae mo shirazu tobisari shitori no nokoshita ato ni kusaki wa mebuki kotoshi mo mata haru ga kuru fuyu wo kizari ni
何度道に迷う